Good morning, everybody. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, so this morning we're going to continue on with the spiritual gifts. I don't know which part this is, 4, I think. So we're going to continue on following what Chip Ingram laid out in Living Your Design. And we're going to talk about the workings of the Holy Spirit and how He moves and operates within individual believers. So I wanted us to start out in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to get to that verse in a minute. So as we start out with just a reminder, spiritual gifts are supernatural equipment for spiritual service. And we've been posing these questions as we're going through this series, and it's really important for us as individuals to answer these questions, because if we don't know what our gifts are individually, then we can't help the rest of the body. We're dysfunctional. Anybody ever been a part of a dysfunctional family?
Me.
Grew up in one, married into one. Still in it. I'm getting better. Me and Samantha have hopefully broken that chain, and Abby has fared better than me and Samantha did as we went to our families. So these are the two questions. If you want to function healthily, you need to make sure that you understand what God has given you. So what spiritual gift has God given you personally, individually? How are you using it to build up the body of Christ? One thing with spiritual gifts, and I think we haven't said it enough, but I'll say it again this morning. The spiritual gifts that God enables us with are not for personal usage only. It's not even the first reason why He gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's for service to other believers. That's the first priority. We magnify the Lord when we use our gifts for other people. It's in that realm of service. So whatever gift you say that you have, if it's not first and foremost to build up this local meeting, then you're not using it properly. It needs to be done with other believers. So now if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and just read along with me, I've got it up on the screen. And this is a New King James Bible or version that we're using. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So again, just repeating that, whatever gift you have this morning is for the profit of all. It's not just for your upbuilding and encouragement. I wanted to read that from the Amplified Version too, just because it gives a little bit variety, but it also gives us a little bit more understanding. So from the Amplified, verse 4, now, there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in the believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. And there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. I think that's all. Yeah, verse 7. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit, the spiritual illumination, and the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the common good. So that's our priority, is to know what spiritual gifts we have and to put those spiritual gifts into action for the body, not for ourselves. So, how many did your homework? Be honest, we're in a church setting. Y'all are pitiful. All I saw was one hand. I might have 1, 2, 3. Okay, now y'all are starting to be honest. Where were y'all at when I asked it the first time? All right, so the others of y'all who didn't raise your hand, you fail and you need to do this over. So make sure that you're doing this. The email's been sent, so just go in your history in your email and just type in Neil Jones, and it should pull it up somewhere, and then ask at least three people. I would prefer more. Ask the entire body if you want to. I don't care. But just somebody who knows you. They've been around you, and they understand what you do, and looking at these different gifts, these are the ones that we're focusing on, and just ask this question. As you've looked at me, as you've been around me, what do you see in my life? How am I living my Christian life? And one of these gifts should pop out in some way. If you don't know the definition of these gifts, just putting a plug in for the website, go back to the website and the messages are on there. The PowerPoints are on there too. So if you don't want to listen to either me or Neil, and I get it, you can just go to the PowerPoint, skim through it, and it's got the definitions of the different gifts right there. So encourage the person to go to the PowerPoint, read the definition of the gifts, and then observe your life and what they know about you. Well, which one of these is more what you lean toward, what you're doing basically. And then just answer those questions. Don't ask yourself, I would tell you that. Because you might think that you have one gift and everybody around you saying, no, you don't have that one. You've got something else. So it's better to have people that really know you to answer this question based upon what these gifts are and just go from there. So make sure you do that. It's not an order. It's not a command, but it's an encouragement. We want to be healthy parts of the body of Christ. If I don't know what my gift is and if I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord, that's not a healthy local meeting. So just a reminder on the accountability part. Neil went over this last time. I thought it was needful for us to go back over this because God does not equip and enable us for nothing. In other words, He does not want to waste His time. So if He's enabled you with a certain gift and He wants you to do a certain ministry and He wants that to be worked out in a certain way, and if you're stuck over here, well, I don't know what my gift is, I don't care what my gift is, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm going to heaven, and I'm satisfied with that, then your accountability when you stand before God, you're not going to have the rewards and the glory and all of that that somebody else will that's been faithful with what God's given them. So that's what these verses are going over, is the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before Him and give an account of the things that we've done in our body, this has nothing to do with your sins. Your sins have already been taken care of one time and one time only, and that was on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of our sins. This is all about what have I done with what God has given me. Did I waste? Did I squander? Or was I a good servant of the Lord? So the primary question from God that believers will answer at the judgment seat of Christ is, what did you do with what I gave you? And again, these are the two verses that are referenced, but you can also go to Revelation and a couple other spots. So accountability, as you will be held responsible for the stewardship of the gift that you have been given. This is a flip side of that, the accountability that we have toward each other. Yeah, 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. So accountability, as you should be held responsible for the stewardship of your gift, we should be holding each other accountable for what God has given us. When you go back and you get three people to answer your question of what your spiritual gift is, and they tell you what your spiritual gift is, and then you start thinking, I haven't been using my spiritual gift. At that moment, you should be saying, I need to be held accountable and I need to have opportunities to use that spiritual gift. That means we need to be engaged with other people. So discipleship and accountability, this works and coincides with each other. In discipleship, there's accountability, and that's how we use our gifts. All of us are mutually discipling each other. All of us are teaching each other in some way, good or bad. A disciple doesn't mean that you're a spiritual leader. It just means that you are learning from somebody else. A discipler means that you are teaching somebody else. In the context, we want it to be within Scripture and how we live out our Christian lives. But that's not always the case. So what are you doing with what the Lord gave you? So these are going to be some bullet points that we're going to talk about real quickly, and then we're going to get into the gifts that we're going to look at this morning. How many of you is frustrated with life in general? Depends on what the day is and what I'm going through. I could say that I'm frustrated. How many of you are frustrated with what you see the church doing? Church in general, local church specifically. Come on now. All right, don't raise your hand, but you can be honest with yourself. So the first bullet point, the frustration you may feel over things you perceive aren't being done here within this local meeting will fade when you get involved, actively participate in serving one another in love. I know that's true because I will be honest, I have been frustrated with some of the things in this local meeting. The frustration has left me when I started saying, I don't have control over these certain things, but I do have control over me and how I respond to those certain things. I'm going to start doing what I can with the spiritual gifts that I have to help this local body. And that's when my frustration went away. Now, Samantha will say, well, he still gets frustrated, and I do. But I try and let it go. When the individual members are healthy and functioning properly, the body grows and flourishes. That's true with our bodies right here. The healthier we are as a human being, the better we live our lives. That's just scientifically proven. The better we are and the healthier we are as a local body focused on Christ, the healthier this local body will be. That's a spiritual truth. That's a biblical truth. In most local churches, a small percentage of individuals do the work of the ministry. That is a fact. I think David Jeremiah mentioned that Wednesday night. About 20% or something like that does the work of the ministry. And that is definitely true within the denominational world. It should not be true in the assemblies because we have more opportunities for individuals to use our gifts. Most local churches have hirelings, a clergy-laity system because of this, because this low percentage of people active. We do not see that as a biblical way for the church to function. I can't find it in Scripture to hire somebody to do the work of the ministry when all of us have gifts of the Holy Spirit and we should be actively serving one another in our capacity. So guess what? I couldn't find a clip where he says it, so I'm going to try and do it as best I can. Let's get busy. Did I do okay? Anybody that knows Arsenio Hall? All right.
Good job.
Thank you. So there's three kinds of spiritual gifts. This is just a review. The first one that we talked about, Neil did an introduction. Well, Jason did an introduction, then Neil did another one. And then I did some of the motivational gifts. So every believer has one primary motivational gift. Those were mentioned in that previous slide where you're supposed to do your homework. So you're asking three people, what's my primary motivational gift? Prophecy, leadership. I can't remember all the rest of them, but they were up there. Next, we looked at the motivational gift can express itself through a variety of ministry gifts, and that's what Neil talked about last time. These are the verses where you'll find these gifts are mentioned. Again, for the definitions, go back to the PowerPoints, and the definitions are written out for these different gifts. When we exercise our motivational gift through our ministry gifts, the Holy Spirit determines what manifestation or working or impact the believer will receive. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I encourage you to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to keep that in context. So this morning, this is what we're going to be talking about, is the workings or the manifestation of those gifts. I should have just went to the next slide. So these are the ones you have at least, you've got one primary gift in this category. Every believer in this group, and those who aren't here this morning, all believers have one gift in this group. I don't know what your gift is. That's for you to figure out by asking others so that they can help you understand what gift you have. But all of us will have one of these gifts. This is going to be our primary gift category. This is the motivation for doing the things that we do. So we have at least one of these categories or one of these gifts. The next thing that we talked about was the service or the ministry. So the service, the ministry gifts are based upon this. So if you've got the gift of prophecy, you may go on into a ministry of prophecy. That doesn't mean that that's going to happen. That just means that that's a possibility. The Lord has endless possibilities. I'm not a mathematician or anything like that. I'm not even going to pretend to be. 2 + 2 = 4, and that's as far as I need to go because I'll start messing up. But when God starts working with the spiritual gifts, the combinations that he can use, we can never come up with the limitlessness of that. There's never going to be a number that we can put on this. If you've got the gift of teaching, then how you express that gift could be in so many different unique ways. It could be one-on-one. It could be small group. It could be large group. It could be conferences. The list goes on of how you could use teaching. It could be in a school capacity where you actually got a job with the state and you're working as a public school teacher or something like that. So the possibilities are endless. The thing that we need to understand and really observe is these gifts are from who? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the gifts. So how he wants us to work out these gifts is still from him. It's not for us to try and conjure up something. It's for us to be obedient with what we have, to trust the Lord and allow him to open up doors for us. So we talked about this last time. We went through these gifts and how they can be effective in the service ministry, how we're serving one another, how we're serving the world around us would be in these categories. So you're taking these gifts and they're being expressed in these gifts. This morning we're going to talk about the workings or the manifestations. This would be how we see the results of those actions. Some of these we're going to be questioned on, or it's going to be questionable whether they're in use for today or not. But this is how these are being worked out, is within these categories. So we'll go through these this morning. So the manifestation or the working of your gifts, there is a wide range of beliefs and understanding about the spiritual gifts. We chose to go with Chip Ingram's because of the way he had it laid out in these columns, and we thought that that was pretty good to teach by, but it also makes a lot of sense for us too, so we decided to go with that. You can go with any commentary and they'll probably give you different views on it. That's just how wide-ranging the understanding of the gift of the Holy Spirit is. So we're not here this morning to argue for or against anything. We're just going to try and give you what these gifts are, what they mean, and then you pray about it and you see what happens. So there's a wide range of beliefs and understanding about spiritual gifts, especially the ones in this category, in this workings and manifestation category. So usually these gifts fall into two categories, continuingist. All gifts have continued since Acts 2. Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down and he throws out or he gives out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in on that day, a lot of things happen that we typically don't see today. But a continuingist would say that it's continuing on. Just as it was on the day of Pentecost, it continues today within the local churches and within Christians' lives. Cessationists, they believe that some gifts, or specifically the sign gifts, ceased after the death of the original apostles or by the time the scripture was canonized. So by the time we actually got a complete holy Bible, then they would say that a lot of these sign gifts, the miracles and so forth, have ceased for the most part. Some will go on to say that they have ceased completely, and anything that resembles that is fake, or it's not real or legitimate. And then some would say that these certain gifts have ceased for the most part, but God is able to use those in different scenarios. So most of y'all in this room, you're going to line up in one of these two groups. Probably the majority of you are probably going to lean toward this way. And then we might have a few that are still like this. We're not here to argue on either one of these. I'll give you my personal views as we go through some of these. But again, it's just an opinion. So the first one we're going to look at is wisdom. Wisdom connects back with these, again, your primary gift. What is your primary gift? How do I use that primary gift? So wisdom, the definition is the ability to apply the principles of God's word in a practical way to specific situations and then to recommend the best course of action at the best time. The exercise of this gift skillfully distills insight and discernment into excellent advice. So that's the definition of wisdom. How does it work out in practice? I'm going through a difficult time and I need somebody to give me some scripture so that it will put some fire up under me and I can get through whatever it is I'm going through. So I'm not just going to go to anybody. I'm going to go to somebody that I perceive has some wisdom. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're older. More than likely it will be somebody that's older because they've lived a Christian life longer. But I want to find somebody that's going to give me some wisdom, not opinion, not how they feel or anything like that, but they're going to take the word of God and they're going to apply that in a wise way. So knowledge is the ability to discover and analyze and systematize truth for the benefit of others. Most people would say, well, if you've got the gift of teaching, more than likely you do have that, and that's true to an extent. With this gift, one speaks with understanding and penetration. But the word of knowledge can also involve supernatural perception and discernment for the purpose of ministering to others. When I started reading this, especially the supernatural perception, I started thinking about the gift of prophecy. They would probably have the gift of knowledge as well, just because of the way that that works and goes together. You can have the gift of mercy and still have the gift of knowledge. Again, that's how God works. He doesn't put it in a nice little box with a nice ribbon on it and say, here you go. It could be a variety of things. Just be open to what God's going to do through us. Faith, the ability to have a vision for what God wants done and to believe confidently that it will be accomplished in spite of circumstances and appearance to the contrary. The gift of faith transforms vision into reality. I struggle with that one. I'm a pessimist. I mean, that's just my natural thing. I have had things where it just looks like it's not going to work out, and then I'll say, well, it's going to work out, and then lo and behold, it will work out. I'm not saying I'm naming and claiming. I'm just saying that I had enough faith to believe what I believe God was going to do in a situation. What we have to deal with this one is the word of faith, people who take that and then they run with it. So the word of faith is a heresy, and I know y'all have probably heard me say that enough, but the word of faith movement is not Christian. It's not biblical. They're a damnable heresy. I can't stand what they teach because they take faith and they run with it, and then they will accuse people. All right, I'm not going to get on my tangents or anything. Biblical faith is this. Able to see things that everybody else is saying, nah, it's never going to happen. We can't have that. We don't have enough funds. We don't have enough people. We can't do it. And then that person steps up and says, God's going to do it. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. And then all the rest of the people are looking around like, okay, we should have just stayed with that guy because God did it. Distinguishing of spirits, discernment. So this is a little bit different than knowledge. This is talking about how the spiritual realm moves and being able to perceive things. I'm not seeing visions or anything like that, but just seeing what the ability to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. With this gift, one may distinguish reality versus counterfeits, the divine versus the demonic, and true versus false teaching, and in some cases, spiritual versus carnal motives. So, again, this is a manifestation of a gift that we've already looked at, distinguishing of the spirits. How many of us know that we're in a spiritual battle? There's spirits around us. Good and bad. There's spirits within this room, and I don't want to make y'all ooh or anything like that. That's the reality. We've got guardian angels. We've got spiritual battles that are going on right now. We've got spiritual battles going on in this room right now where God's angels and the devil and his demons are trying to keep the word of God out of people's ears. That's just the reality of it. And we have to be able to, or somebody within our group has to be able to, and God is equipping us to do this, to distinguish truth from error. Not everything that somebody says is according to Scripture. Here we go. Tongues. The Greek is like glossia. It just means a sound. The ability to receive and impart a spiritual message in a language the recipient has never learned. Now, I underline that so that other members of the body may be edified. This message must be interpreted either by the recipient, the one who's speaking in that language, or by another person with the gift of interpretation. So I put this at the bottom. This is a real, known human language. It is not gibberish. It is not a supposed heavenly language. How many of y'all have been involved in the Pentecostal Charismatic? I was saved in one. I know how they do it. And I know what I heard. So, this is why I'm putting this. This is a real, known human language that the recipient, the one speaking in that language, has never learned. The reason why I say that is because it is a supernatural interaction with the Lord, the Holy Spirit doing that. And He does that for a specific reason. Is it for today? Did it stop after the apostles died out and the completion of the Scriptures? Whether it did or did not, these are the bounds in Scripture. It must be a known human language that the person who's speaking it never learned. And it has to be not this and not this. The way people get around this one today, and again, I'm on my soapbox again, I'm sorry. They'll say, well, I've got my prayer language. I had a guy at work years ago, and we were talking about prayer, and I was like, yeah, sometimes it feels like it's just not getting there or whatever. I don't know how the conversation went. And I remember him saying this, and he was Word of Faith. He said, have you ever prayed in your prayer language? Because your prayer language can't be stopped. It goes straight to the Lord. And I was like, nah, I never had that happen. Never will have that happen because there's no such thing. But that's where people are. And this gibberish stuff, if you take, I'm not going to say 99.9%, but let's just say 95% of the tongues, supposed tongues that are out there today, it all sounds like this. I would love to be, because now we have ChatGPT and all of that, AI, take what we hear in these churches and plug it into ChatGPT or whatever and say, hey, translate that for me. What language is that? And just see if it's really a language or not. I don't know all the languages, so I can't tell you. But I do know that the majority of what we see is this. That's my soapbox. The interpretation of tongues. This is a God-given ability to translate in a language the recipient doesn't know. So this person can be the one that speaks in the tongue. They can also have the gift of interpretation. But more than likely, it's going to be somebody speaking in an unknown language and then somebody else interprets it. They have the gift of interpretation. Still within that box, and tongues are put in a box. You have to do it like this. If you say you have the gift of tongues, it has to happen according to this. And that's laid out in 1 Corinthians 14, I think. I may be wrong, but it's somewhere within those chapters right there. So the person who's going to interpret the tongue has never learned the language. It would be like me and Arabic. And somebody else speaks in Arabic, and I have the gift of interpretation for that language, and I can interpret it perfectly. It's never going to happen because I don't speak Arabic at all. I mean, it would have to truly be a miracle of God. It'd have to be the gift of the Holy Spirit to do that, because the only Arabic that I know is Allah, and I think it's a couple other phrases, that if I could remember those. But that's it. So, again, the tongue, the language, is a real human language that the interpreter has never studied. The good thing about our nation now is that we have so many different languages coming over here. So and I've done this when I was a new believer and we were growing up, or when we were growing as believers, I'd pray for the gift of tongues. Lord, just give me the ability to roll my tongue so I could speak Spanish clearly. You remember that? I mean, I've always said that, because she can roll hers, I mean, without any issues or anything. I'm Southern. I've got a speech impediment and all that stuff. I can't roll my tongue. So I prayed for the gift of tongues. Lord, just supernaturally give me the ability to do that. It hasn't happened. Flip side of that is some of the Pentecostal denominations would say the gift of tongues is proof that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I can't roll my tongues. I can't speak in tongues. Am I saved or not? All right, I'm done with my soapbox. So these manifestations, these workings are not the primary gift given to a believer. This is what we really need to understand, because a lot of Christians within that camp and a lot of those churches within those camps will tell you that these are the most important gifts that you can have in a church, functioning within a church. These are the least of the gifts. These are the ones that we should not be focusing on, because these are the ones that are a manifestation of the working of the other gifts that we've already looked at. So focus on the primary gifts. What primary gift do I have, and how does God want to work that out as I live out my Christian life? Some of the ways may be ways like this, and there may be ways that we're not even covering this morning. But these are just ways that the other gifts are being worked out. So these manifestations, these workings are not the primary gift given to a believer. These are a result of the primary motivation gift being used in service, the ministry gifts. No Christian should, nor can we say that our main gift is one of these manifestations or these workings right here. If we're building our ministry, whether it's individual or a local church meeting, if we're building it on one of these, then it's not going to be sustainable, because these will not sustain a believer. And that's just the nature of them. So developing your spiritual gifts, I would like to go back to this, and I was thinking about this one right here. as I was preparing the message, and I'm open for thoughts on that one. My personal opinion with these right here is these come and go. So in other words, if I've got my primary gift and that's what I'm going to be using in my ministry, at one point, depending on how the Lord works, it may be that I have faith for that particular instance and then I don't have faith for other instances within my life. Miracles, discernment, same thing. Discernment, I think, this can come and go. And the reason being I think this is because we can be deceived. There are some times when I've heard somebody and I've read something or whatever, and I was like, and Samantha knows how I am, something ain't right about that. It doesn't align with Scripture. I just got, something's not right. And then lo and behold, something will come out later on and it'll be exposed. And then there's other times where it just goes over my head. So I'm leaning toward with these that they're not permanent within a believer. They come and go as a part of that working out of the motivation and ministry. So, basing salvation or indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the gift of tongues is absolute no-no. It is not found in Scripture at all. But prophecy, the same thing. Test the prophecies. Test the prophets to make sure that they're true and make sure that they're accurate. So, there's all of these things, these boundaries within these things to make sure that they're accurate. These are the ones that people showboat on, is these. Healing, if somebody's got the gift of healing, they'll showboat on it. All the ones that I've ever seen that say that they have the gift of healing, I say, go to the nursing home. Go to the cancer floor on the hospital. If you really got it, go. Instead of saying, hey, you come to me. If you've got enough faith, you come to me and I'll heal you. It's just, all right. Developing your spiritual gifts demands that you exercise them by involvement in. I want to know what my spiritual gift is. I got to talk to other people and see what they have seen in my life. But if I want to develop that spiritual gift, that demands that I exercise it. Physical therapy, you've gone through a surgery and you want to get better. You don't want to stay like you were before surgery and you want to move on. Well, it demands that you have physical therapy. It demands that you do that at-home exercises. That's just the nature of the beast. Same thing with church. If we've got a gift of the Holy Spirit, it has to be exercised. So it means to be involved in people's lives and needs, church community, ongoing training and education. We think about this and we say, well, if it's a spiritual gift, why do I need training and education? Because you want to improve it. Somebody getting up here and they're teaching and they believe they got the gift of teaching, but maybe they don't. Well, it needs somebody to come up and talk to that person and explain what they've seen. So you have to have ongoing training and education. Well, you did this, you said this. Well, I think you might have been in error on that. It's just things that we can do. So we've got a spiritual gift. We always lean upon the Holy Spirit and we trust Him to guide us and direct us, but we still need, trying to think of the verse. I can't think of it, but anyway, we'll move on. So always got to have ongoing training and education. Regular risk-taking opportunities. Nobody likes to take risks unless you're young and you feel like you're going to live forever. But most of us, especially as we get older, I'm going to hold back on that stuff. But with our spiritual gifts, we got to put it out there. It begins with knowing which of these motivation gifts the Spirit has given you. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, exhortation, giving, mercy, leadership. Once you know which one of these gifts you have, you've talked to other people, you've gotten their input, you've put it into practice, you've gotten more training and education, you're risking it, you're putting it all out there and seeing what the Lord's going to do, and then that's being developed into your ministry and how God's showing you how you can serve and so forth, then you're going to continue to grow. But it starts with knowing what gift from this category you have. So as we finish up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, developing our spiritual gift means getting involved with people. Where could we use our gift that would get us involved in the lives of people starting here at CBF? So as we think about that, be specific. Where does God want me in this local body of believers right here? And there's many things that the elders and nursery and Sunday school, and these are just things I'm thinking off the top of my head, they would say, yeah, join in with that. And there's probably some other things that you feel like you want to see happening here. Go to the elders and say, hey, I feel like I want to start doing this, whatever it is, blah, 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 and see where it goes. But be specific on what you feel like your gift is and what you feel like your calling or your ministry is. Be engaged or involved. This is far more than just attending a meeting. It is sharing life with people. I'm going to give another plug with this one right here, discipleship accountability. This is how we live our lives. We don't live our lives in a vacuum. It's not me against the world. It's the body of Christ functioning like a body. And that takes discipleship and accountability, discipling one another. We're all equal within this group. We may have different roles and functions within this local meeting, but we're all equal. We all have something to give to each other, to teach each other, to train each other, to disciple one another. So don't feel like, well, I don't have anything to offer to this local meeting. If you're here and you're born again and you have a spiritual gift, you have something to offer to this local meeting. Developing our gift is like exercising a muscle and includes ongoing training and education. What kind of training could help you strengthen your gift? So whatever your gift is, what kind of training do you feel like would help you to be a better servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Developing our spiritual gifts means taking risk. We must jump in the water of life and people. But I can't swim. Jump in anyway and hang on. Try and float. But it takes this, taking the risk and getting out there into people's lives. If you get involved in somebody's life, what are you going to find out? More than you want to know. It's messy. It's dirty. It's complicated. But that's where God wants us to work. That's where God wants us to serve, is in each other's lives. When we're in the valley, when we're on the mountain, when we're hanging from the treetops, when it feels like a limb's getting ready to break in that person's life and we don't know what to do, we are supposed to be involved in each other's lives, because I have a gift that I can use to encourage that person, edify that person, challenge that person, hold that person accountable, and I can keep on going with the list of things that we can do with our spiritual gifts. But we have to do it. So our last slide, gifts of the Spirit, again, finding out what your category, what do you have right here? Is it the gift of mercy? How are you using that gift? Is it the gift of leadership? How are you using it? Giving. You can be a poor person and still be a giver that gives above and beyond what the richest person in this group does. I've seen it in action, so I know it can happen. Don't think that, well, I'm judging my bank account, so that means I'm not a giver because I can't afford to give. Money is not the only thing that we can give. It's one of the most tangible things that we can give, but we can give so much more than that. Encouragement, I think all of us should be an encourager at one point in our lives. As we're relating to people, we should try and be an encourager. But a lot of times it's going to be natural for that person that has that gift of encouragement. My wife will tell you that over the years I've gotten better with encouragement, even with her, right? She rolled her eyes. I don't know about that. We can learn to be better, but we will function healthily when we know what our gift is. Teaching, service, prophecy. Once we know what this is, we jump over here. Well, how does God want me to serve in this capacity? With this gift, how does God want me to serve? I don't think this is an exhaustive list. This is just things that are pointed out in the Scripture. So how can I function? What's my service? What's my ministry? And how is God going to work it all out? Again, I don't think this is exhaustive neither. Again, a reminder in this category, I think these come and go in the individual based upon the circumstances. This one you're definitely going to have, I believe, all the time, at least one of these gifts, and this is going to be your primary gift. In the middle, this is how it's going to be working out. You can have the gift of prophecy. It may be that your service, your ministry is in the realm of prophecy, and it may be worked out that this is how it's being demonstrated, is in prophecy. You could have and I'm just giving you an illustration. You could have the gift of prophecy. It could mean that you're a teacher, and it could mean that you're always talking to people and they feel like, man, that person is just giving me some words of wisdom every time I come across them. It's unlimited what the Lord can do, but it's the Lord who does it. And we have to keep that in mind, that it's the Lord who does that work. We're just His willing vessels. Am I a willing vessel So much so that I've done the homework. I've asked people what my gift is. And now that I know what my gift is, I want to be serving the others in this local meeting. I want to be serving my fellow man in whatever capacity it is. So I'm going to ask for, what do y'all need me in this local ministry to do? I'm going to be saying, hey, I prayed about it and I prayed about it, and the Lord is moving me toward starting this food pantry. I'm just trying to think of things. Whatever it may be, the limitation on what the Spirit can do through an individual believer's life is what? The limitation is me. He's unlimited, but he's limited on whether we're willing to do things or not. And let's be willing, let's be vocal, let's be sharing with one another and serving one another. So your homework is, you actually got two things of homework. The second one's going to be a test that we're going to hand out in a little bit. But ask at least three people, which one of this category right here do you see that I have, that you have seen me operating in? If you think that you have such and such gift, and all three of those people say that you have another gift, then go with what they're saying. In that case, it's going to be a democracy, majority rules. Just be honest and say, well, I want to be used to the Lord, and maybe I was mistaken. Now, if you think you have whatever gift, and those three people or those multiple people come back and they say, well, this is what I've seen, and it confirms what you already thought, then more than likely that is the gift that you have. Now that you know what gift you have, go to the elders, go to other believers. Hey, how can I serve? What door is there for me? There's not a door for me. Can I open up a door? How can I be used specifically in this local meeting, specifically in your household, but also outside as we're dealing with other people too? Okay. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is limitless in how he pours out his gifts and how he works and how he just serves us in a supernatural way. We thank you that we have been equipped in mighty ways to serve one another. And we pray that you would reveal to us what the primary gifts are that we have. Reveal to us what type of ministry or service we should be doing. We pray for open doors and open hearts and open minds, that we would be those that are a part of a body. So many churches look at the church meeting as a religious activity done once or twice a week. But help us to see this local body here as a family, as friends, as a body that needs to be functioning healthily. And help us to be part of it that is healthy, knowing what our purpose is, knowing what our gifts are, and knowing how we can use those here. We thank you, we love you, we praise you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for saving our souls, and thank you for giving us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.